Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Yes, hi again. It's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast in Western Australia. It's a little bit rainy today, and as you can tell, I'm recording in the relative quiet of my home. No mobile vehicle in the background today. It's just going to be me and you and a very silent background. There is a little bit of rain. You might actually hear it coming through the speakers or the headphones. Today's topic is called, Did I Marry My Best Friend Only to Have Them Become My Best Friend? Friend zoned. That's what the younger people call it in their single world. It's when their love interest, sometimes referred to as their crush, turns on them, subtle or otherwise, and makes it known that pursuing a romantic relationship with them is out of the question. They just want to be friends, hence friend-zoned. I kind of like the term. It says what it is. Friend-zoned. That's all well and good for a bunch of horny singles looking for some action, but what about the married couples who promised to be faithful to each other and wanted the very same thing from the one they chose to be with forever, who in turn promised to be with them forever too? They are also horny and attracted to someone, only this someone chooses to keep them at arm's length, just like friend zoning. There's no name for it for married couples, but there should be an equivalent that explains it the same way. Of course, the main difference between singles being friend-zoned and married couples finding this hostile place is a single can abandon their crush and go elsewhere to find love, intimacy, and/or sex. A faithful couple who is in a friending zone of their own, because one of the two makes it this way, cannot. They are locked together. They are locked out of a sexual life and into a friendship cycle they can't get out of. Ask anyone on the forums about their long-term sexless marriage, and they'll use words to explain their spouse is more like a friend than a spouse, more like a companion than a love interest, more a cohabitator than a lover. The following story comes from the Sexless Marriage Forum, ilivinasexlessmarriage.org, or rather, iliasm.org. It's where a lot of people in sexless marriage go to vent their frustrations. I found a post that was left by a frustrated wife who goes by the handle of Lonely Lady. Here it goes. I've been married for 45 years. My husband is a good man and I love him so much. We probably haven't had sex 45 times in our whole marriage. He has ED. He has Viagra, but it doesn't help. He is just not interested. I told him to try and masturbate, hoping this would wake him up. But of course he didn't even try. I have tried everything you can imagine. Nothing works. I know he loves me and he says he wants me, but he doesn't act like it. I feel like crap. Never as a woman did I think I would have to beg for a man. What a blow to my being. I hurt so bad. I have begged, cried, I've been nice, been mean, and everything in between. I am so lonely and sexually frustrated. I love him and I could never leave, but it sucks. I don't have anyone to talk to. That's why I joined this group. It's getting to me. I cry every day and I resent seeing couples when I watch TV and they show sex scenes. I'm so jealous. I sound crazy, I know. Thanks for letting me vent. Well, that's it. It's a sad story, isn't it? But it's not an uncommon one. Her situation is not unlike almost everyone else on the forum. She's in a marital friend zone. She has a spouse. He loves her. She loves him. The opportunity for sex could be there, but it's not because her husband doesn't want it. She has no choice but to stick it out and hold on to what little she has got, that being a man friend, not a male lover. Her esteem is shot. She's disappointed and probably extremely depressed over this situation. She's jealous of the lovers she watches on TV who make out, and after that jealousy fades, it probably makes her even more depressed. I'm sure we've all been there and back many times. I know I have. It's friend zoning for couples. Unfortunately, there's nothing friendly about friend zoning, whether it's happening in a marriage or not. That's the irony of it. It's about as unfriendly as hell. Friendly is the last word I'd used to describe it. There were replies to her call out. Those who wrote to her empathised with her plight. Some of the guys even gave her tips, especially with the ED thing. And that's helpful. It takes an erectile dysfunctional guy to understand what another erectile dysfunctional guy might go through, right? Clearly, there's something to be gained here. If only the husband wanted to play a little, or to try, or to even give a damn. And this is the issue that follows almost every other. We can do all the therapy in the world, conduct an intimacy autopsy on our love life, or lack thereof, and come up with a conclusion or two on how to fix it. But we still can't make our spouses do anything if they don't want to do it. It's up to them to get up off their asses and make the next step. If they choose not to do that, then we must choose to follow them wherever they go. So many of them don't want to make a step. They just don't want to. They don't want to do anything to improve the marriage. Instead, they sit and turn away. They say words like, "I love you, I want you, I'll never leave you," and demand faithfulness all the while. It's weird, right? How can they be so selfish? They want so much from us and give so little in return. Of course, my argument is faithfulness should not be used as a weapon. If you're not having sex, then clearly your marriage is no longer a monogamous one. You have a wonderful friendship with a nice person, but not a blooming romance with a lover. Your spouse changed the rules without your consent. Faithfulness is now an unreasonable expectation to ask of you. If our spouses can't give us the courtesy of intimacy, then the last thing they should be doing is demanding some kind of exclusivity. If we choose to give it to them, then that's one thing, but demanding it from us is another. At the top of the podcast, I mentioned I was an author, and I am an author of dark fiction narratives that encircle a sexless marriage. My book, Seethings, S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G-S, is a pseudo-autobiographical recount of my sexless marriage with some fictional elements thrown in for entertainment. You're going to see a lot of your marriage in it. The things that you encounter in your daily life will appear in the narrative. It's available for free right now from smashwords.com. Smashwords.com, type in the word seethings and you can download yourself a free copy and be reading it within minutes. Alternatively, if you would like to drop me a note on today's podcast, you can write me at michaelformanwriting.com. michaelformanwriting.com. That's where you'll see all my writing relating to my narratives, including all the content about sexless marriages and how I feel about them. Yes, I'm passionate about it. passionate enough to have written a book. It was a long time in the making, but of course the sexless marriage was a long time in the making, and it took a long time for me to figure out how I felt about it and what I would like to do to some characters and right some of the wrongs that go on inside this little dark world that I found myself in. And also you probably have found yourself in as well. You may not feel as dark as I do, but you know exactly the situation that you're in. So if you've liked what you're hearing in the podcast on any of the episodes, including this one, you will definitely enjoy reading Seedings. That's it for me today. I hope wherever you are in the world that you're having a great day, or perhaps a night, because this goes right around the world. But just remember, it can always rain on your parade. I'll see you later.